Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Over the last three Sundays, we've been running a series of summer messages centered around the topic of how Jesus shares our struggles. And this is the fourth and final message in the series. And I've entitled my message this morning, Failure in the Life of the Christian. Now, just to be clear here, I'm not going to be talking about personal moral failure in which one fails spiritually, i.e. adultery. I'm talking about failure in the life of the Christian which is not caused by sin. For example, you might be a successful business person with many decades of experience, and one day you made a fateful financial decision that is now coming back to haunt you. Creditors are knocking on your door and you're wondering if receivership or liquidation is the only way out. Or you're a high-performing athlete and you entered a qualifying race that you had spent months training for and were expected to win. The race was yours to win, except you didn't win, you came third. You got a bronze medal instead of the gold one. And now your dreams of competing in the next major event has gotten that much harder. Or you're a university student, and after 4 years intensive study for a first class honours degree, horror of horrors, you failed your final paper. And the fancy job that was being offered to you solely on the strength of you having an honours degree has now been withdrawn and given to someone else. You know, none of us are immune to these sorts of experiences. They can be devastating. And it raises a lot of unanswered questions. Where is God? How could he let this happen? Am I outside his will? What do I do now? Does God really care or exist? When I was growing up, no one ever prepared me for the possibility of future failure. Not my parents, not my high school teachers, and not my pastor and whatever church I was going to at that time. Most people, by and large, only ever talk about future successes. Passing NCEA level 3 with merit or excellence. Getting a trade apprenticeship on leaving school. Graduating from university. Getting the job of your dreams. Building a successful career. Buying your first home. Finding love and romance, raising a family, prospering financially, walking a daughter down the aisle, becoming a grandparent, and retiring rich. Future successes. No one talks about the consequences of leaving school with no NCEA passes, of not obtaining an apprenticeship upon leaving school and having to work menial jobs as a result, all on minimum wage, because you're not qualified for anything else, of failing at university, not succeeding in your chosen career, of getting fired, divorce and remarriage, a mortgagee sale of your home. watching your children struggle with mental health issues and attempting suicide, of forcible retirement due to redundancy, of being broke in old age. Our unfulfilled dreams, sorrows, and disappointments are all struggles that Jesus cares about. And that's the reason for this message this morning. Some Christians have the idea that if you are walking in God's will, you can't fail. And they'll use Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 to back up their viewpoint. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. And this is the key verse. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. In the early to mid-1990s, I experienced career failure whilst working as an ambulance officer with St. John. My career goal was to become a paramedic. I had, at that time, around 6 years full-time on-road experience behind me. I was working at an intermediate level, and I held registration and a current practicing certificate similar to that of an emergency medical technician today. Paramedics now are a dime a dozen. But 30 plus years ago, paramedics were few in number as paramedicine was still in its infancy. Now, those few who were qualified at that level were all pretty much hero worshipped. They all tended to sport golden halos. They acted like they were 10 feet tall, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, and walk on water. Plus, they all got paid $80,000 per annum with overtime and callbacks on top of that. Now, if you consider the cost of living and what house prices were like in the early to mid-1990s, $80,000 per annum then was a whole lot of money. If you want to become a paramedic today, you simply enroll at university, either Fitiraya or AUT, and you do a 3-year Bachelor of Health Science degree, majoring in paramedicine, along with 1,000 hours of clinical practice. But up until 1999, in order to become a paramedic, you had to go to the National Ambulance Officers Training School in Auckland for 12 weeks. And in order to get there, you firstly had to pass the paramedic pre-entrance exam, which was held once a year each November. I spent months studying for this exam. I was confident. I was working in the area of my passion. I knew that God had led me into this vocation. I had prayed long and hard about this exam, and my home group had been praying for me as well. So what could possibly go wrong? What went wrong was that I failed. Not once, not twice, but 3 years in a row. I came within 1.5 percentage points of passing on 2 of those 3 occasions. After my 3rd consecutive failure, St. John then declined me the opportunity to resit a 4th time. To say that I was rather sour over this was a complete understatement. How could God have let this happen? What about his promises? They prosper in all they do. It wasn't just that I had failed an examination that I should have been able to pass. More than that, my failure was a spiritual crisis of faith for me. Yes, I felt much shame and embarrassment. But even more, I felt betrayed by God. How could I ever trust him again? After my third successive failure, I found myself questioning my competency to practice. I started thinking that I was a phony and an imposter, that I didn't belong there. I was plagued with intellectual self-doubt. By this time, I now had close to 9 years on the job, but I couldn't career progress. Ultimately, I ended up resigning. The reasons behind that I won't go into here, but suffice to say that resigning at that time for the reasons that I had was, in hindsight, one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. Now, as I was writing this message out over the Christmas New Year period, it became clear to me that Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 can't be construed as some sort of blanket promise that covers every case. Christians don't always prosper in what they undertake. Sometimes they do fail, and that's just a fact. And sometimes they go on to fail more than once. Now, Ruth Lennox alluded to this 3 weeks ago when she gave us her testimony. And before I go any further with this, I just want to tell you that I have Ruth's permission to re-quote her, and she has already pre-read my message. In her testimony, Ruth talked about going to medical school at Otago University, of working in hospitals in Hamilton and Christchurch, of doing a 3-month elective at Carlini Mission Hospital in Zambia. She talked about doing postgraduate specialist training because having a specialty qualification was more internationally recognised than the undergraduate medicine that is taught here. Ruth chose paediatrics as her specialty and later went on to become a paediatrician. But it wasn't all plain sailing for her. What caught my attention in her message was when she said, quote, "It took me some time to pass my exams," unquote. The inference here is that Ruth needed more than one attempt to pass. So how did she become successful? Well, in her message, Ruth said, "I went to Australia for teaching support." Teaching support implies surrounding yourself with people much smarter than yourself, who can give you subject-specific knowledge in order for you to succeed academically. This could involve such things as one-on-one tuition, being part of a small group doing brainstorming sessions, undertaking mock exams, volunteering for extra work assignments, listening to audio tapes, and reading widely. Ruth learnt that success is no accident. Success is due to hard work and perseverance, learning, studying, sacrifice, and most of all, love of what you are doing or learning to do. And what was the end result of this for Ruth? Well, she said, I finally passed. Praise the Lord. Now, someone here this morning might say, Mark, you can't use human experience to nullify God's word. His promises stand regardless of your experience or the experiences of others. Well, that's true. But the problem with this response is that Scripture itself gives examples of such failure. For example, God had promised to give the land of Canaan to the 12 tribes of Israel. In Judges chapter 1, verse 19, we read, the Lord was with the people of Judah, and they took possession of the hill country, but they failed to drive out the people living in the plains who had iron chariots. Now, on the face of it, this verse doesn't make much sense. The Lord was with them, and yet they failed. How are we to understand such failure in the life of the believer? Well, based on my own experience, I think it is entirely possible that God's will for our lives can include failure. In other words, God's will might be that you will fail, and he may lead you into failure. And if you're wondering why that might be so, it's because there might be things that God has to teach you through failure that he could never teach you through success. So then what practical application does all of this have for our lives? And I'd like to make just 2 points. My first point is, learn from your failures. When we fail, we shouldn't adopt a sour grape attitude like I did. Instead, with the benefit of hindsight, we should analyze our failure to see what lesson we can learn from it. That doesn't mean trying to figure out why God allowed it to happen, because in many cases, we'll never know why. Unfortunately, I didn't learn from my initial failure, and I went on to repeat the same mistake twice more. I'm a slow learner, obviously. Looking back on it, what I should have done but didn't do was to ask for my marked test papers to be sent back to me, then sat down with a paramedic to see where I went wrong. And then over the next 12 months and before the next exam, routinely do mock exams on everything. That would have been the smart thing to do. Except I'm not particularly renowned for being smart. And you're going to find this funny, but I came across a quote recently that said, you might not be the dumbest guy in the world, but you better hope he doesn't die. I should have asked for help. In retrospect, maybe it was a mixture of pride and stubbornness and the sense that I'm a big boy and I don't need any help. I can do this all by myself. That got in the way of me asking. Now, at this point in time, I don't need any of you lot reminding me of Proverbs 16:18 that talks about pride coming before a fall. By way of comparison, Ruth asked for help and as a result went on to pass her exams and graduate, which in this situation just goes to prove the old adage right, that girls are smarter than boys. My second point is, never give up. Just because you failed, it's not all over for you. You're not finished just because you fail, as failure is often only a temporary condition. It's when you give up is what makes it permanent. I gave up. I quit. But I'm saying to you, please, don't be like me. Don't surrender and chuck your toys out of the pram. I know that sounds a bit rich coming from me, a bit like the pot calling the kettle black. But with God's strength, pick up the pieces of your failure and having learned from it, go on. Ask God for the strength to go on. He will give it to you. In fact, there's a biblical name for that quality, and it's called endurance. Through failure, if you respond correctly, God can build the quality of endurance into your life. I never asked him for that. I just walked away, and I bitterly regret that. Failure in the life of a Christian then shouldn't surprise us. It really is to be expected. And God has important things to teach us through failure and true success. The success that counts for eternity consists in learning those lessons. In conclusion, although I would never want to relive my experience, I can honestly say to you this morning that I'm somewhat glad I failed. I say somewhat because 29 years after leaving St. John, I still miss that line of work. It really bugs me. There's a saying that goes, you can take the girl out of the island, but you will never take the island out of the girl. Meaning, in my case, once you've been an ambulance officer for any period of time, the nature of that work permeates deep inside of you, and it becomes a core part of who you are as a person. You can never truly shrug it off or leave it behind. There's another saying that goes, once an ambo, always an ambo. There's a silver lining in every cloud. And although I never found the career success that I was looking for as an aspiring paramedic within St. John, I did go on to find academic success in biblical and theological training later in life, graduating with a bachelor's degree in theology in 2012 at age 54. So I'm not a complete numpty. You know, doing any form of theological training would probably never have happened had I passed the paramedic pre-entrance exam, because my life then would have gone off on a different track. I would have been too busy keeping my halo polished whilst accepting the praise and adoration from my minions, stooping to get my 10-foot tall body through standard 6-foot, 8-inch tall door frames, bounding over tall buildings, walking on water, to have bothered with such mundaneness, whilst simultaneously chasing the $100,000 plus salary band that critical care paramedics get paid today. So I hope you're listening, Hannah. In closing, I would like to believe that I have become a much better person because of my failure and the theological training I have received since then has firmly grounded me in ways I never expected or foresaw. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen.